This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. It is 2016 and Wells Tech is back on the air. This is episode 426. Today is Tuesday, January 5th, and we're so happy that you joined our little podcast where we talk about technology and ministry. And the hour part of the podcast, of course, is I'm joined by Sally Draper. Hi, Sally. How are things in New Ulm, Minnesota?
Well, they're just lovely. We are happy to be in 2016 here and celebrating with a serious cold front coming through soon, I think. So kind of chilly and snowy.
Wouldn't be winter without the serious cold fronts.
I guess so.
How was your vacation, your holiday, your time off, your time away from the podcast?
Well, I hadn't had a chance to talk to you about that, but it was very, very enjoyable and refreshing, and hopefully yours was as well, Martin. It's always nice to have a little time to decompress, to enjoy some family time, do some things you don't normally have time for, and that was just what it held for me. How about you?
So did you lay off the technology, or were you still immersed in it?
That's a really interesting question. I was totally immersed in it, to be honest. What about you?
I was fairly good. Didn't do a lot, even though, most of my family is into tech, enjoys it, whatever. And we had, all the kids home, et cetera, et cetera. But I spent not a majority, but a lot of the time out of the office painting. So that was very low tech, a little manual labor. So painted a bedroom and a living room and a kitchen. Not all mine, but part of Christmas presents and such. So got to exercise a little bit. And that's enjoyable, too. Get keep your mind be a little bit creative just by not kind of diving in and being in front of a screen. So I enjoyed it. So
definitely. I actually got to a project that I would never have time to get to otherwise. Even though it was a tech project, it was a lot of fun. It's a scavenger hunt they do here on campus at MLC, often with upper elementary students when they visit. They take them around to different locations, have some questions for them to ask people and things like that. Well, we digitized all of it. So now they'll go to the location and have iPads with them, scan a QR code. I created all these QR codes and things. It'll take them to a form that they fill out to answer their questions. And when they fill out the form, it'll give them a clue to the next location by scanning a particular QR code. So very, very fun project. And I'm excited for people to try out Marty's iTour, it's called. So hopefully cool. The kids will enjoy it.
We did kind of something like that in our unconference, didn't we? Or remembering we did something like that. I don't remember
exactly. We had that idea. Definitely.
Very cool. Well, happy 8th anniversary. Does that mean we've done 8 years of shows or 7 years of show and we're entering the 8th?
I would say it feels like 20. No, I'm kidding. That we've done 8 years of shows and we're entering our ninth year of podcasting, believe it or not. We started first Tuesday of January in 2008. Okay. So 8 years completed behind us. So
425 episodes in between those two. So that's pretty cool. And we still have things to talk about. In fact, the topic of our show today, we've rarely even scratched the surface on, and that's because it's I think an emerging technology, and I think we're going to maybe talk through and talk around different ministry uses for it, mostly in maybe the education space, and that's the whole topic of virtual reality. Virtual reality is not by itself anything new. A lot of people have tried it, but with the advent of smartphones especially and all the sensors and such that are in a smartphone, it has brought it to the consumer, the ability to put on a pair of goggles or a piece of cardboard to your face with a phone slotted in it and explore virtual worlds of sorts. And I think there's maybe not a lot of content out there, but maybe 2016 would be my guess where we're going to see a lot more uses for virtual reality, both as kind of a hobby, but also maybe in the educational space.
Yep. And you mentioned cardboard, Martin. I think we both can say that we have a version of the Google Cardboard product. And, you know, who else better to lead the way into virtual reality at the consumer level than our friends at Google? I'm not surprised at all that they would tap into this and be interested in the development around virtual reality. And so that's basically what they've done. They've found a way for the everyday man like you and I to experience it without having to spend Uber dollars on something like an Oculus Rift or whatever it may be, and also to create this type of 3D virtual reality experience. So, right.
So maybe we should explain for those people that maybe aren't familiar with how this works. So specifically Google Cardboard, and this is, they all kind of work the same way. Google Cardboard is just kind of the low cost approach to, you know, getting this to work. And, you know, you were good enough to give me a gift of Google Cardboard. Actually, mine is made by Dodo Case. So it's a little bit different than yours. And what it is it's simply some scored cardboard that you fold in a particular method to form goggles. And in those goggles, a piece of the cardboard holds two lenses, and then there's a slot or a flap that's Velcro, that has some Velcro on it, in which you put your phone. So if you take your phone, you'd slide it in there and then in front of the lenses, and then you close up the Velcro, and now what you're looking at through the two lenses is your smartphone screen. And then what the app does, you have to download the app on a smartphone or apps, is it essentially divides your smartphone screen into two panes, left pane and right pane, and they can operate differently and give you a little bit different perspective on the same subject matter. And as I mentioned, one of the reasons that this works on a smartphone is the smartphone is smart enough to know what direction it's being held, how fast you're moving, and it can, the app can be programmed to react to that. So if you, let's say, spin around in a circle, you're going to get a 360 degree view of whatever the content is. So that's kind of the dummy's version, the Reader's Digest version of how these apps work. And you can put headphones on, you can get the audio experience and so on and so forth. But I'd call it pretty primitive yet at this point. I don't know about your experiences, Sally.
Yeah, actually, you did a great job explaining it. I'm really thankful that you did that. Thanks, Martin. If I were going to do the dummy explanation, I would say it's like a ViewMaster for adults. Right. You remember those fun ViewMasters that we had? And it really is that experience. And, you know, funny that I would call it that, because as I was doing some searching and preparing for the show, ViewMaster actually has a version out there, manufactured by the company ViewMaster. So that is very much what the experience is. Mine is actually a Dodo Case as well, but it's an earlier version. And I unfortunately have a problem with it now, because just like you demonstrated, you can take your phone and put it inside of there and close it up with Velcro. But you'll notice that my new phone doesn't fit. It's too big.
First world problem, I think.
Yeah. So I got a larger phone, so it still works with my older phone, but not with my new larger phone. But many of the viewers now do accommodate the larger phone footprint or format or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, so before we go any further, you have to tell everybody what kind of phone you got.
I got the 6S Plus, the new iPhone. So, okay. And I had a special reason to convince my husband that we needed this, because we've talked about it on the podcast before, but there's a device called a Structure, which is a 3D scanner, which works with the newer iOS products. And so by getting this phone, I can get a Structure I can 3D scan you, Martin, and then we'll be able to print a bust of your head on our 3D printer. Now, doesn't that sound like a great goal for 2016?
It seems like everything in the Draper household these days, it can be traced back to the 3D printer.
It is the place that we're spending our time and brain power lately. So lots of fun.
So I'm going to look forward to more of that kind of stuff.
Stay tuned.
Yep. Awesome. But for now, we should probably continue our travel down the virtual 3D worlds that are possible with this new technology, this virtual reality technology. And I can't say I'm an expert. I've just recently kind of experienced it. I've had an Oculus Rift on my head. One of our help desk people here, Travis, had one. He brought it in. And, you know, that was kind of a more immersive experience because you don't have to put your hand, you don't have to hold it up to your head. You know, there's a strap on it. And I think one thing that we should probably get out there right away is that it's not always a comfortable experience for everybody. It kind of depends on kind of where your head is at, you know, what kind of vision you have, because, you know, there are reports and in fact caution on some of these apps that we're going to talk about where it could make you dizzy or disoriented or nauseous even.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of the kind of person that's prone to that kind of stuff. Same kind of things on video games. I watch my boys do racing games and up and down, and I have to look away because it gets to me. So you're absolutely correct. This is, you do get that feeling that you're in that place and you can turn too quickly or go up and down too many roller coaster bumps or whatever it may be and actually have physical reaction to it. So definitely true that it could be a challenge for some people.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, depends on how you use it. If it's not a lengthy time or whatever, you're kind of not prone to that kind of stuff. But
right,
definitely a possibility.
So if somebody gets a cardboard unit or whatever and wants to try it out, what they're likely going to find in, you know, the top 10 lists of virtual reality software solutions or things to try out are Google related. One of them is Google Street View, which is kind of cool. If you download the Street View app, there's a little cardboard icon that you can press, and given certain locations, you can get a kind of a more immersive experience than just kind of using your computer to look at the space. So they've done a nice job with that, and I'd say pretty realistic. So you can go to a location through Google Street View and see the things, and you can actually create your own Street View, right?
Right. I have it up on the screen, just some screenshots from Street View, and it actually includes a 360-degree camera. So if you're watching the video of the podcast, you'll see an example there where as you're moving your camera around, you get these little spots, and you move your camera until it's over the spot, and it takes a picture automatically. And it prompts you to continue doing this until you've done not just your typical right-to-left kind of panorama, but totally up and down and all around where you've created a sphere around yourself. So I tried this out. We had a big snowstorm, so I hiked my way outside to the corner in front of my house. You can even see my shovel stuck there in the snow. It was quite deep. And I stood in one spot, kind of planted my feet, and I looked up and I looked down and I looked all the way around behind me. And I looked all the way around the other direction. And if you're watching, you can see that it's not perfect because I actually, in the picture, it appears that I have two garages behind my house.
Split level.
It appears that my house is in two pieces. So that overlapping of the pictures doesn't always magically line up correctly. It seems to have better response with things that are further away from you, which I think, Martin, you and I both tried it in our offices and got some pretty wonky spheres as we took the pictures. Another problem was there was a light post right next to me, but in my picture, it seems like it's floating on a cloud up above the tree line over there. But other than that, I think a pretty good representation. I even I think I said I looked down at my feet. You can see how deep the snow is. Nope, no feet in the picture. But I did look down and get a picture of them, so I don't know. They got cropped out somehow. Google didn't see that as worthy. But basically, you create these photospheres. Now, the reason it works and is part of Street View is because this is what the Google car is capturing with their 360-degree cameras that they're taking Street View pictures with. It's the same kind of concept that you can use cardboard to bring up these spheres, and you can do it basically at each point where the Google car has taken Street View pictures. So that's the Google Street View camera, spherical camera. Now, you know, if we want to jump into ministry resources, this is probably one of the main ones I can think of that we could use right away. You don't have to have cardboard or anything along with you. You just need your smartphone and the Google Street View. And say you take your class on a field trip, you could capture a few of the moments of the field trip, the places you're visiting, a zoo or whatever it may be, in these Google spheres, and then take it back and allow the students who couldn't attend to have that virtual experience of the field trip by looking at the photos that you took using Google Street View.
In fact, they have a program called the Expeditions Pioneer Program that really encourages the use of virtual reality and specifically cardboard for, you know, field trips, or letting students experience what it's like to be in a location. One of the bundled apps that came with the Google Cardboard app, by the way, some of these apps are really big. I don't know if you mm-hmm. noticed that, Sally, when you were downloading, but because of all the images that have to be put together and some of the technology behind it, some of these apps take a while to download and will take up pretty good space on your phone. But one of the sample apps had, let's say, a photosphere or a 3D view of the Eiffel Tower, for instance. Mm-hmm. So if you couldn't get there yourself, it actually was very realistic. So they did it with obviously more expensive cameras. You could walk around a little bit. So they took a series of these and get closer underneath the tower and see around the neighborhood and those kinds of things, and really get a sense. You could do that with video and watch something on YouTube or whatever, you know, kind of a documentary or travelogue kind of show. But the difference is you control the perspective. So if you wanted to walk down the street and look at the Eiffel Tower from down the street, you could do that. So there's an advantage to kind of having that level of control and be a little bit more interactive with the experience.
Yeah, definitely. We put some questions out to folks and asked if they had education type applications. And we got one response from Drew Willems, who's at Shoreland Lutheran High School. And Drew said that one of the main things they are using is something called Elements 4D. And it's an interesting app. It's a free app and it's for iOS. And what it does is it allows you to print, and they have this PDF available for free out on their website, print this document, cut out these cubes and glue them together. And then when you view it with the app, the cubes kind of come alive almost and tell you information about the different elements on the periodic table. So it's a combination. It's not using Google Cardboard, but more of a combination of your camera and how it interacts when it recognizes. It's almost like it's scanning a QR code and launching a video.
I would call this more augmented reality rather than virtual reality, because you're looking at physical objects and then mm-hmm. the software is actually transforming them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've had a similar experience. I have children of the age of college recruitment, so we're getting all kinds of college mail all the time. And one of the colleges said, scan this or point your camera at this, kind of like pointing it at these blocks. And it basically launched kind of an immersive video that we were able to watch that was at the spot that was in that picture. So the starting of the video was exactly like the picture on the promotional material they sent, and it's like it came to life on my phone. So that's that augmented reality like you described.
Right. There are, I guess, And we won't necessarily go through all the list of applications that we found, because actually it's not that long a list. But my suspicion is that the sweet spot is going to be in the educational space, and it's going to be in maybe even the gamification, you know, of this, where you're creating educational games and educational experiences that the kids are going to be able to use and experience new things in a way that they have not done so before. I guess there are going to be niche things. You could do this with a church tour or something mm-hmm. like that, to give somebody an experience of what it's like to come to your church or to worship with you, those kinds of things. But again, I think we're going to see in 2016 more of that focus. And Google is really big into the educational space with Chromebooks, and I can't imagine that they're going to not do the same kind of thing, make the same kind of effort with these kinds of tools in the educational space. Maybe next summer we'll be having this conversation again with a whole, you know, wealth of applications that you teachers could consider bringing into your classroom, whether it's, you know, history or science or those kinds of things, maybe our, you know, art, maybe our naturals for this kind of technology.
Definitely. I just am reminded of one more college thing. Like you said, the virtual tour thing, I think, would be just another, besides the education. And we actually had someone come to MLC and create a virtual tour of our campus, so you can take a walking tour. And he did exactly this. He used his camera and took the 360s in multiple locations. I've already gotten something from a vendor selling college virtual tours, which included a Google Cardboard actually in the mailing, because they're taking their 360 and putting it in this cardboard format. So if there are 360 experiences out there, it seems like it's pretty easy to take it to this next step. But I could see putting on my website like a 360 of the interior of our sanctuary, that kind of thing, to give people the opportunity to experience the interior of the sanctuary or whatever. So there's some potential there.
If any of our listeners are into this or have some good experiences or have some ideas for ministry uses, let us know. We'd love to capture those in our community feedback section and include those in our show notes as well, so that others can maybe jump in and find some potential ministry uses for this as well. So it's kind of a topic that doesn't have a lot of meat to it yet, Sally, but I think as we go along, it'll be interesting to watch what happens here.
Yep, you can say you heard it here first. How about that?
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on. We do have a piece of content for our Wells Now segment, and that is mostly a local opportunity here in Milwaukee. So if you live in the Southeast Wisconsin area and are interested in getting together with other tech and ministry minded individuals, Pastor James Aderman decided to kind of take this concept of intersections that we kind of featured or themed our WellsTech conference this summer, and took it to the next natural step in getting people together outside of the conference, keeping people connected, trying to find conversations that made sense for people interested in technology and ministry. So we're having one of these Wells Intersections groups, as he's calling them, down at Divine Peace here in Milwaukee on South 76th Street this Saturday morning. It will run from 9 to 10:30. We'll have some fellowship conversation. I'm going to be there doing a brief presentation on the perfect church or school website. So I'll be talking for about 20 minutes, but a majority of the time we're just going to chat about, I think, technology and ministry, specifically websites, but probably other topics as well for people who are interested in finding those intersections. So again, that's 9 o'clock Central here in Milwaukee, if you are interested in joining. And we'll follow this group, you know, in the future too. They're trying to meet, I think, quarterly, and see what other interesting topics that they're going to have in mind. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Martin, one thing that Pastor Aderman asked about was possibly RSVPing, just so they had an idea. So if you are interested in attending, maybe give us an email, wellstech@wells.net, and we'll pass that along to Pastor
Aderman. Or find them on Facebook and let them know.
Yeah, that's right. There is a Facebook group.
And we'll have that in the show notes.
Yep.
Sally, our first pick of the new year, our picks of the week, what do you have for pick number one?
Pick number one of 2016 is actually something really cool from one of our favorites from 2015, and that would be your nephew, Jonathan Witte, who we interviewed early in 2015, who's just got all kinds of camera and video talent. He's always doing something creative, someone I enjoy following on Instagram, and recently he posted the picture. I have it up on my screen for those that are watching the video. It's actually a picture from MLC featuring the chapel predominantly, but it's done kind of like a sphere, like a globe almost. And I just had to ask, how did you do this, Jonathan? And he pointed me to a really cool app. It's called Roll World. It's for iOS, but I found a similar one called Small Planet for Android. So check out the show notes. I'll have links to both of those. But basically, it takes your picture and it rolls it into a kind of a small world kind of view of it.
Maybe the way to describe it, right?
That's a great way to describe it. And I wanted to give it a try, was waiting for the perfect picture. And I decided that actually my picture that I took for Google Spheres was a good panoramic type picture that might roll well. And as it turned out, I've got my floating light post there, but it did roll quite well. I can see my picture, my house in the picture, and then all the way around the block there from that standpoint, things across the street, my neighbor's house, and different things. And it's just a really fun and unique perspective.
And they make it very artistic. I mean, it's not just kind of a blah, picture that they pulled into this vortex, but it's kind of cool the way that shovel is kind of almost sticking out of the picture. And they did a nice job. I like it.
Yeah, and you have control over those things, so they give you a starting point, but there's sliders galore, so you can take it and make it like an S and emphasize or de-emphasize or rotate or all kinds of different variables that you can apply to your picture to get it just uniquely the way you want it to be. But I thought it was a lot of fun, and maybe it would be something interesting for your church or school website to take a panoramic type picture around the exterior of your buildings or whatever and try it in Roll World. So free to try and neat effect. So
very good.
Thank you, Jonathan, for that.
All right. My pick is actually very timely for you, Sally. Now that you have a new and improved iPhone, one of the advances with the latest iOS operating system, iOS 9, is the ability to add ad blockers to your mobile Safari browser.
Nice.
And that's my pick of the week. One Blocker is its name. OneBlocker.com will get you to kind of the information page. It will block ads, scripts, really anything that you don't want to come into your browser. And I think everybody's probably recognized mobile browsing as somewhat painful at times. If you go to a site that is filled with ads, pop-ups, those kinds of things, it can almost get unusable. So you really can't even see what you want to see or what you thought you would see if you visited the site. Because some of the ads, will pop up and cover the entire screen. You get this little X in the upper left or the upper right. Sometimes there's ads that kind of fill the main content area, and the content that you really want to read is at the bottom or at the right. So these ad blockers that are just coming into the App Store now are new because iOS 9 and Safari is now allowing you to add third-party ad blocking to the tool. So this will work on iPhones or iPads, I suppose iPod Touches as well. One Blocker is one of the ones that's been pretty highly rated. They have a free version. And then if you pay, I think, $2.99, I want to say, you get some additional tweaking that you can do, basically tell it what you want to block and what you don't want to block. There's a whitelist extension, so you can say, well, never block stuff from this site, or always block this block stuff from that site. You can totally customize it. But the free version I'm enjoying right now is just giving me a more pleasant browsing experience, because I find myself browsing more and more on the iPhone or the iPad, and it gives you the opportunity to have pages load up a little bit quicker too, because one of the things that slows down that browsing experience and makes it, you know, not as pleasant are all the ads that are loading. It's got to make different calls to different ad services, and by and large, that slows your web browsing experience way down. So I've noticed that in the time that I've been using it, that you have the ability to speed up the experience. So one blocker, that's the numeral one, blocker.com, or just do a search in the App Store. There are similar tools that are available over on the Android side, but this works specifically with Safari.
Great pick, Martin. And maybe we should hurry this up a little bit so I can get that installed. Sounds like a good one.
You've had enough.
Yeah. No, actually,
they're in front of you, 6 inches worth there, so five and a half inches. So let's move on to ministry resources.
And you know, Martin, this one just kind of emerged for me as I went through the holiday season, because I felt like I saw more and more of these types of messages advertising online Bible studies starting. You know, I think the new year is a good time to reinvigorate your Bible reading programs or maybe your prayer life or whatever your goals might be. But I thought this year in particular was a bit different in that many people were offering these types of services, and there was a lot of great response to these new things that were starting up with the beginning of the new year. So I thought it would be great to feature some different online Bible study opportunities. It's not too late to join, I'm sure. And a lot of them are very Facebook centric. So it seems like that's where the people are, and that's where people are taking advantage of this opportunity to study the Bible or pray together, whatever it may be. The first one was from our friend, Pastor Phil Huebner. He's down at Christ the King in Palm Coast, Florida. And he actually just put a question out in general. I'm thinking of starting a one-year Bible reading group on Facebook. I'd do it for my congregation, but I'd open it up to anybody that's interested. And literally, this just sprang to life this past week, and he has 454 people here. It's an open group. You can join the group. And then each day, he just gives you a little reminder of I think actually each week he gives you a section of the Bible to read for the week. And then all these different people are having this conversation around it. So here's his posting on December 31st, week one, reading Genesis 1 through 23. So 23 chapters to accomplish sometime this week. And then he gave notes, and they were fairly lengthy. He gave you some really great notes to get your wheels turning, and then opened it up for people to discuss. And as you can see, there's lots of discussion, and it's not just Pastor Huebner that's posting things and responding to things. A very healthy group has sprung up around reading the Bible together for 1 year. So I thought that was just really exciting to see. Social media at work, and I think this year in particular, seeing a lot of that. Another group we've talked about fairly regularly on the podcast is Holy Hen House, which is a group of really talented ladies, I believe in the Milwaukee area, who are blogging together and blogging about their faith. And I think many of them are pastors' wives or whatever. They're friends from college, whatever it may be. Young moms just writing openly about their faith and things. And they have a group out there, the Holy Hen House Online Bible Study. It is a private group where Phil Huebner is public. You can just go and join. This one you can search for. You can use the link we provide in our show notes. They have a format to it, and they've been doing it for a while. They just kind of reintroduced it at the beginning of the year. And basically what they're doing is on Monday, they're sharing a Bible passage with some imagery. On Tuesday, promoting some questions and discussion. Wednesday, application challenge. Thursday, prayer and Periscope, which is an app where they can live stream via their mobile device. And so they have evening Periscope on Thursday evening at 8:30, where you can watch and participate there. And then Friday through Sunday, it says unplug and spend time with your family, friends, and the Lord. So kind of a neat format that they've adopted, and they have a large group as well. I can't remember how many, but it seems like there were, here it says 414. So lots of people interested in that format as well. I saw an advertisement, Martin, for a new group of videos that are going to be released, and they're in conjunction with Time of Grace. They're called Your Time of Grace, and recognize some of the pastors involved in this, and really nice looking introductory video here. And it says starting, I think, on January 16th or something like that, they're going to put out a video a week, devotional type video. So something you could subscribe to on YouTube, or you can follow their Facebook page. Obviously, then you would be able to see the videos when they post them here. It's called Your Time of Grace. And then a couple more to mention. Our friend Pastor Rob Gunther sent us a Bible reading plan that he's going to adopt this year, and it's focusing on readings from the New Testament through the New Testament in 62. So he's divided it up where you can read 4 to 6 chapters per day and finish the New Testament in 62 days, and he's recommending that you read it 5 times through. Because if you repeat that cycle, you will have read the New Testament 5 times throughout the year. And he's got a really nice PDF schedule available. So check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. And you can join Pastor Gunther in reading through the New Testament 5 times this year. And I found one more I wanted to mention, and this is from our friend Pastor Fred Kogler. And he's been doing this for a while, where he puts video devotions out there. And he's real regular with that. And it is just a lot of fun. You just kind of come into the pastor's study and listen to his video devotions. So you might want to check that one out as well. That's pretty exciting to see so many different opportunities to connect using social media and study the Word and pray together.
Yep. Over the years, we've talked to different people doing different things like that, which is wonderful. Using blogs, those kinds of things, emails or MailChimp, those kinds of things. Are all opportunities. If you're doing something like that and would like to share, let us know. Go to wellstech.wells.net or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, and let us know what you're doing. Give us a link so we can share, and that'd be wonderful. I think now is the time people are looking for new programs to start. Debbie and I were just talking the other night. We had been reading through a book on Psalms, that was very good, but we got to the end. It's a year of Psalms readings, and we got to the end, and now we're starting over, but thinking maybe we want to try something else. So if you've got ideas, I'm going to look at some of these resources as well. So,
great.
What's our featured video of the episode 426 that we're on here?
Well, you'll have to check it out on wellstech.wells.net. We'll embed the video, Google's Big Jump into Virtual Reality. It's from The Verge. They're techie kind of folks over there at The Verge, and they put together about a 7-minute video where they give you an overview of virtual reality. So we thought that would be a good addition to our product demos playlist, where we have a collection of different things like that. And since we were talking about it today, you'll get more of an idea of what the experience is like if you watch this video.
Very good. And next week, we will be continuing our series on a book that we're writing, With All Your Heart. We've completed chapters 1 through 4. We'll be coming up on chapter 5, which is all about scheduling and using the calendar, how to keep things on track, doing checkups, making sure that everything is hitting the right milestones, those kinds of things. That will be our review. So we'll have a full chapter for you at that point. We'll release that in the tool that we've been using from Microsoft called Sway, where we can embed videos and those kinds of things. So we will be taking some time to look at that. We'll also be interviewing some folks from Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School in Jackson, Wisconsin, about their use of a specific calendaring tool, Google Calendar, which we've talked about many times on the show. And we'll hear how they're using it and some of the ways that they're finding it useful for their ministries there at Kettle Moraine Lutheran. So that's all next week. Hope to see you back then. Sally, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Bye-bye.